Another week and survived. Hey, listen, that's half the battle anymore. If you can just survive getting through the day and all the mayhem that goes along with it, then you've got yourself a super weekend looking ahead. Hi, I'm Mary Jane Pop. Welcome to Pop Off. And we've got our Pop Off Friday with a kind of a variety of things, but it's toward a little bit toward the entertainment because we're getting ready for the weekend. We want to relax. We want to kick back. We want to have some fun and enjoy. One part of it is not necessarily enjoyment, but this is the diet doctor's doctor. I mean, Dr. Joel Fuhrman has been like on all the major television shows. He has several books out. He is out of New York and been on Good Morning America and CNN and The View and just on and on and on and on. Anyway, Joel Fuhrman wrote a book called Eat to Live. So it's not only for weight loss, but it's also for good, healthy living. And we'll be talking with Dr. Joel Fuhrman from New York a little bit later on in the show. Then we're also going to talk with Richard Armstrong. Now, this guy, how can I explain him? He's a gambler. Now, you say, well, what do we want to talk to a gambler? Who better knows how to get good comps and bennies if you go to Vegas, you go to Reno, you go to Tahoe, you go to Atlantic City? He can tell us how we can get some of those bucks back and really enjoy. You usually think of the rooms and the meals and all that going to high rollers. He said, there are some tricks to the trade. And he's going to share with us because he's got a book out called Paid to Gamble. And he's going to tell you how to get it online, believe it or not. And then he's got another one out that I think is phenomenal. It's called God Doesn't Shoot Craps. We'll find out what that's all about. Of course, we're going to have our movie reviews because if you're heading to the movies, we don't want you spending money when you don't have to. Before we do that, however, I want to share just a couple of things. If any of you are doing any traveling outside of the country this summer or any time for that matter, I thought it'd be kind of fun. I got this email from a very dear friend, and he said that this is for non-English-speaking countries, and sometimes they go out of their way to communicate with their English-speaking tourists. For instance, I'm going to share two or three of these now, and then as we go through the show, I'll share more of them with you, but I just thought they were so funny. A cocktail lounge, these are for real. I'm not kidding about this. This is for real. A cocktail lounge in Norway. Ladies are requested not to have children in the bar. Think about it. You got to kind of think on two tracks of these, all right? At a Budapest zoo, please do not feed the animals. If you have any suitable food, give it to the guard on duty. That's funny. Doctor's office in Rome. Specialist in women and other diseases. I wonder if people really look at this stuff and analyze how other people are going to read it. An information booklet about using a hotel air conditioner in Japan. Cools and heats. If you want condition of warm air in your room, please control yourself. And this is the last one for this one. In a Nairobi restaurant, customers who find our waitresses nude, or rude, I should say, ought to see the manager. And they ought to see the manager. Okay, that's a good one. I almost screwed that one up, didn't I? Okay, we're going to talk about movies, because if you're going to go to the movies, we want to make sure that you're going to get the right kind of movie to go see, or at least have an idea. Sometimes the titles are deceptive, and we don't want you to be deceived, because you put too much money out for all these movies anymore, and then by the time you buy the popcorn and the soda pop, and if you get some Juju beans or milk duds or whatever, it can cost an arm and a leg to take the family to the movies. So,
well, Saturday night at 8 o'clock, I know where I'm gonna go. I'm gonna pick my baby up and take her to the picture show. Everybody in the neighborhood
you're dressing up to be there too. And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do.
Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
When you're giving your baby legs, throw in the balcony. Well, that's technical color and the film of gold. A guest on a Hollywood movie and a popcorn bomb.
If you're heading to the movies this weekend, it's always kind of a crapshoot, to be honest with you. They have a title and you look at it and some reviewers say good, some say bad, but you never know. Well, it's always a good idea, though, to have an insider to tell you if it's worth the buy or the time for that matter. And that would be Deborah Hill, our Hollywood movie maven who sees them just for the hill of it. Hello, Deborah.
Hello, Miss Pop-Up.
You've been very busy this week, have you not?
Oh, very, very busy. You know, some weeks I see maybe one or none, but this week has practically been every day I have to go see a movie.
Well, which one do you want to start with?
Let's start with the one they're hyping the hell out of it. It's called Miami Vice.
Oh, you mean Miami Kaput.
Well, this one stars Jamie Foxx, Colin Farrell, Gong Li. That's an Asian actress's name, Gong Li, and Naomi Harris. Now, I wrote, and I feel this way about them, the cocaine cowboys of the 80s are back, but on a bigger screen, and Jamie and Colin are the urbane undercover cops of the old TV series, but they're new faces in strange places.
Well, you know what gets me? What is with Hollywood these days? All they do is remake of old television shows, of old movies. Can't they come up with anything original?
You know, that's exactly what I said. I said, however, the script is pretty much the same in that they are trying to catch drug suppliers in the South Florida area. And Jamie, he's living with Naomi Harris, who is an intel analyst, helping him fight crime.
Oh, I believe that.
Yeah, because a lot of it's done right over the Internet.
Thank you.
And Colin is a carefree bachelor who falls for the wife of the arms and drugs trafficker played by Asian actress Gong Li.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have a name like Gong, you have to tell people it's an actress, not an actor.
Just a bad pronunciation, you know?
Right. Well, soon the story gets so convoluted, it's hard to tell the good guys from the bad guys, and the sound often seems muffled. And in the close-ups, they are too close. They cut off half of the forehead. And it literally looks like the cameraman is walking around with the camera on his shoulder.
You begin to believe that maybe they tried to stuff a whole season of segments of Miami Vice into one movie.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. And then there is the undercover cop who is informing on his fellow cops to the drug dealers. And they don't ever show us who that was. But this story has been told so many times before, it made me wonder why Hollywood can't come up with something original.
And when you have it that convoluted, it's like, God forbid you should have to go to the bathroom because you'll never follow the line anymore.
Yeah. You don't even have to go to the bathroom. You still can't follow it, you know?
Oh, okay.
It's just I say Miami Vice is just another adult crime drama with nothing new. And it shoots itself down to the bottom of the hill.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. It's rated R because they have some sex scenes in bed with the Colin and Jamie and Naomi Harris.
Well, I think they probably figured they better do something to make this movie run, so R had to be it.
Yeah, but you know, honestly, it didn't seem like it fit into this movie. I mean, it seemed like they threw it in for sex, and that was it.
Yeah. That's the crux of the whole thing anymore. Now, you saw one called Scoop?
Scoop. Now, this, Woody Allen stars in it. He's also written it, and he's director on it. And Scarlett Johansson, he likes her as an actress. And Hugh Jackman, an English actor. Now, I think that Woody has finally returned to his old Woody humor. And he's put it into this amusing and entertaining story.
Really?
Yeah. Scoop is a contemporary comedy that has Scarlett as a student journalist visiting friends in London, and when she happens upon the scoop of a lifetime, she gets it through Woody, who's playing a magician called the Amazing Splendini.
Oh, Splendini. I like that.
Yeah, he can bring back the dead.
Oh, okay.
And when she volunteers from the audience to be one of his stooges,
uh-huh.
He puts her in a box, and he tells the audience that he's going to make her disappear. He calls it the disappearing box. And she may disappear, but a dead journalist appears to her.
Uh-oh.
And Scarlett is shocked when the ex-journalist tells her to follow his clues to discover the identity of a serial murderer known as the Tarot Card Killer. Now, the clues lead her to a handsome British aristocrat played by Hugh Jackman. And I thought this was interesting because I remember reading about Jack the Ripper in London, and they never caught him, but they thought he might have been a member of the royal family.
Yes, that's always been a part of the explanation. That's the reason he was so protected.
Right. Well, in her pursuit of the scoop, she falls in love with the handsome British aristocrat.
Well, of course.
Played by Hugh Jackman. But she talks Woody into playing her father to help her solve the puzzle. Now, this is kind of funny. You know, this is kind of amusing. And she soon falls into the Jackman's hands, and love clouds her common sense for finding out the truth. But fortunately, Woody is helping her, and the spunky young reporter, she doggedly carries on the quest and finally finds the killer.
I think you like this one.
Yeah, scoops up the clues to the top of the hill.
Well, you know, at least it's original, you know?
Yeah, it's something new and different, and it's PG-13 from Focus Features, and I think the whole family could see this one. It's an interesting, funny thriller, and I love, you know, I love the old Woody humor, and he seems to have finally brought it back. It's been gone for a while.
You bet.
Yeah.
Well, he was too worried about marrying his stepdaughter.
Yeah, I think he kind of lost favor with a lot of the public when he did that.
You bet. Okay, now you got one. This one doesn't sound too exciting to me. A Guide to Recognize Your Saints?
A Guide to Recognizing
the right kind of saints.
Saints, yeah. I thought it was something about spiritual, but the
yes.
Saints are a street gang.
I knew it. I just knew it.
Yeah, they're a street gang, and it's awful. It's just raw violence, and really there's no stars in this film. It's just a bunch of kids going around trying to kill each other, and there is one star, Robert Downey, but I don't think he's much of a star anymore.
Let me guess, bottom of the hill.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think it kind of was so boring that I thought, oh God, why am I sitting here through this whole thing?
Well, they do violence just to do violence. There's no reasoning behind it, you know?
No, and you know, there's so many street gangs now that it's kind of disturbing to see a film like this. You think, oh, God, can't they do anything about these idiots? They're like these terrorists running around in Baghdad or Middle East somewhere, you know? I mean, they're a bunch of low-class idiots.
Seriously, Deborah, you don't even have to go to the movies to see it. Open your door, your front door.
Yeah, that's what I felt. You know, geez, our society. And, you know, I'm so disgusted with America these days because we are so politically correct that we're incorrect.
Well, and we're so politically divided we can't get together on anything anymore. It's sad.
Right.
Sad.
Yeah.
Now, you saw one. This one sounds interesting, but I don't know, called The Illusionist?
Yeah, The Illusionist is kind of a strange film. It's about a magician, like an illusionist, who brings back the dead again. And it actually stars... Edward Norton as the illusionist and Paul Giamatti as the two men pitted against each other in a battle of the wits. And they try to find out who kills the lovely young princess. And she kind of appears on stage mystically like a ghost and gives them some clues and then disappears. But it wasn't as good as Woody's type of thing.
Oh,
it was
okay.
Too ethereal. So I gave it like a halfway. I didn't think it was really, you know, it might be mildly entertaining to some people.
What's the rating on it?
You know, they didn't have a rating at the screening time, but I would guess it's PG-13.
Okay, and that's not coming out till, August 18th?
August 18th, right.
Okay.
Release date on this is August 18th. Yeah, it says MPA rating to be decided.
Oh. Don't
they haven't decided what to rate it yet.
That means they're probably going to edit just a little bit more just in case.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. It was okay. It was just okay. So when they're just okay, I say okay about halfway.
Got it.
But
you also
at least
saw one you told me called Trust the Man. Do I trust the man?
No, you wouldn't want to trust any of the men in this film.
Okay.
This is supposed to be a smart, sophisticated comedy about the challenges of love and marriage among modern-day New Yorkers. It does have a good cast, though. Julianne Moore, who I like, and David Duchovny, and Maggie, Gyllenhaal. I guess she's the wife of the other guy, Gyllenhaal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about married couples who cheat on each other.
Oh, real life.
So you can't really trust anybody. You can't trust the man or the woman.
I mean, I just had somebody on this week talking about the divorce rate, and she said, I'm sorry to tell you, you're wrong if you think it's only 50%. It's closer to 70%. I said, thanks a lot. I needed that.
Really? Is that how high it is now?
Yeah, it's awful.
Wow, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
So now we know why, though. Trust the man.
Yeah, right. Well, I rated this one about halfway up the hill. It's mildly interesting as we watch these people run around trying to find sex in every corner. And, of course, David Duchovny actually realizes that he's a sex addict. So he winds up in a sex addiction class, like an Alcoholics Anonymous class. And that's kind of funny, as everybody tells what their sex addictions are. And I thought, really, that's weird. But at least they're not serial killers.
Yeah, exactly. And not only that, I always think those are the people that, you know, think with their brains below their belt.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of folks out there like that, I'm telling you.
Yeah, men and women that are dickheads.
Thank you. I'm glad you said that. I didn't want to say that. One other one I thought we had talked about, but you know what? I don't think we did. And I think this is one that we really should. The Brothers of the Head, I thought we did, because you said it was a very sad movie.
It was about Siamese twins. And, you know, it really upset me, because this was supposedly a true story about twins that were connected at the chest. And they didn't, apparently in 1975, they were not successful in separating twins, or they didn't even try to separate them, but these twins were born in England, and they grew up to be about in their 20s and started a rock group.
Oh.
And they were like an attraction, because they were Siamese twins in a rock group. One played the guitar and the other one sang. But when you see all the terrible, sad things they have to go through being, you know, physically connected to each other, and then they wind up, well, dead, because one of them commits suicide, and if one of them commits suicide, the other one dies, too.
Oh, sad. That is sad.
That it was very sad, and it was a disturbing film, but it was an interesting film, because I've often wondered about what the heck do Siamese twins do, because I remember the reason they were called Siamese twins was because there were Siamese brothers that were connected at the chest originally in the 1800s, I think.
And then the name just stuck after that, yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. What did you give it?
Well, you know, I didn't know what to give it. This is a kind of a documentary movie. They've taken it from history. Actually, Conjoined Twins, which was a BBC Horizon documentary called Conjoined Twins, that was done in England in the year 2000, and they took that and kind of added a little to it. So it wasn't exactly a documentary, but how can you rate something like this that is so tragic, you know? With now, you know, it's really amazing how they can successfully separate conjoined twins that are connected at the head.
Yeah, it is. It's almost a miracle. It's amazing. It really is.
It is a totally amazing thing that they can separate twins the way they are these days, you know.
Well, now, if people want the rest of the story, because you always have the longer version on your website, plus pictures and everything, where do they go?
They go to see Devra Z. Hill. It's D-E-V as in vitamins, R-A, and then the letter Z is in Zoom Zoom, as you say.
You bet.
Devra Z. Hill, HILL.com. DevraZHill.com has it all. And you'll see a lot more on there, movie reviews, books I've written, pictures with me and the stars I've interviewed, and all that kind of stuff is up on the website. So
you bet. Well, listen, you have yourself an entertaining week, as you always tell me.
Yeah.
And you are always doing such a sterling job and going out to see all this stuff, the good, the bad, and the ugly, that don't forget, the snacks are in me, okay?
Oh, listen, that's terrific. And next week I'm going to go see World Trade Center, so we'll have a lot to talk about.
Oh, boy, we should get into a lot of detail on that, okay?
Yeah, and then there's another movie I'm going to see called Conversations with Women.
Oh, that should be interesting.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to talk about next week.
Fabulous. You have yourself a terrific one.
Have an entertaining week.
Thank you, my love. Again, that's Deborah Hill. And she is a phenomenal movie reviewer. I mean, she does a lot of this stuff all over the country and actually all over the world, too. And, of course, her website, again, is Deborah, D-E-V as in Victoria or vitamin, as she said, R-A. I always say Z as in Zoom Zoom because this lady's got more energy than 10 people. DeborahZHill.com, enjoying the movies on Pop-Off. Now, speaking about enjoying things, how many of you like to once in a while go do a little gambling, you know, Vegas, Reno, Tahoe, Atlantic City, any place. I mean, there's a variety of places that you can go gamble. How would you like to maybe get paid to gamble? Not don't laugh and don't scoff. We're going to get it from a person who really knows what it's all about. Because if you get it from the experts, then it makes good sense. Now, I'm going to share two more of these little, if you're doing any traveling. These are non-English-speaking countries that have signs for us stupid Americans, but they're pretty stupid anyways when you look at these signs. On the grounds of a Nairobi private school, are you ready for this? No trespassing without permission. I like that one. In Mumbai, it's in a Mumbai restaurant, open 7 days a week and weekends too. And in a Tokyo bar, special cocktails for the ladies with nuts. I'm not going to say another word on that one. The game or they wouldn't be making the money that they're making. And I've always been a firm believer that I'm not building it or put another chandelier at Caesar's at Tahoe or anything, but how would you like to get paid to gamble? Now, we all know the high rollers get all kinds of bennies and comps, but how would you like to be a part of that game too? Well, Richard Armstrong says, welcome to his world. He's author of two books. One is called Get Paid to Gamble, and the other one is the controversial new novel, God Doesn't Shoot Crap. So we'll find out about that. Hi, Richard. Nice to have you back with us on Pop Off.
Hi, Mary Jane. Good to talk to you.
You know, you got to understand, I'm a little guy. You know, I don't go in there and I spend big bucks. I just don't have the kind of money to spend thousands and thousands of dollars. But you say even the little guy can live large?
Absolutely. You know, believe it or not, in the most recent year that we have statistics for on this, American casinos as a whole gave back $1 billion to their players in the form of comps. And it's probably only larger than that now. And that's not all to high rollers by any means. I mean, if you go to a casino and you put about $1,000 in play, for example, you really should expect to get about $250 back in comps because casinos give about one quarter of their gross revenue back to the players in the form of comps. And you don't really need to lose anything in order to get comped. You should
now
get
you're
comped
talking
even
my
if
language.
You win. Say that again, Mary Jane?
I said, now you're talking my language.
Yeah,
I don't have to
right.
lose anything to get comped.
You should get comped even if you win. I mean, there are even certain kinds of comps that you can get without even playing at all. Casinos are constantly handing out free stuff and discounts and freebies, and nowadays there's so many casinos and they're so competitive with each other that if you simply show up at a casino, there's a fair amount of this that you should get. And the reason I wrote my free e-book, Get Paid to Gamble, is just to make sure that everybody was getting their fair share of this stuff.
Now, how do they get that? They can get that online, right?
Yeah, just come to my website, which is named after the novel. It's www.goddoesntshootcraps.com.
Okay.
And click on the yellow star there, and you get a free download, instant free download of Get Paid to Gamble. I wrote that book about 15 years ago, and it was the very first booklet ever written in this country on the subject of casino complementaries. And
now, does it still hold true today?
Yes, it does. I think there may be a few things that are a little bit outdated in it, and I went through it and tried to correct some of the things that are no longer true. But the principles are all the same. And we sold it for like $40 a copy and sold thousands of it. And the reason was that there wasn't that information just did not exist. But nowadays, you know, you've got the Internet, and you no longer have to print these books. You don't have to mail them out and pay for postage and all that. So I'm just giving it away for free as a way to drive people to my website where they can learn a little bit about my novel.
Now, before we talk about the novel, you say that there are three very important tips for getting more comps more often. What are those
three? Yeah, these are probably the three fundamental things. The first thing is that you've got to give all of your business to one casino. Now, I know that takes some of the fun out of going to Las Vegas, and it actually may work to the detriment of your gambling a little bit, because I've always felt that from a gambling standpoint, it's good to sort of be like a guerrilla soldier, you know, and attack and retreat and attack and retreat at different places. But if you're playing for comps, or if comps is a major consideration in your play, then you really should focus all of your attention on one casino. The second is, once you've determined which casino that's going to be, you've got to get there. Comp card, VIP card, bonus card, slot card, they go by different names at different casinos. But that's how they track your play nowadays. They do it with a little credit card-like device that you put in the machines or that you hand to the pit boss. They do it electronically. Like 30 or 40 years ago, they might have, you know, kind of recognized your face. But that's not the case anymore. It's all electronic. And you've got to be religious, if that's the right word, about using that card. Some people think, well, I'm only going to be here for 10 minutes before I have dinner, or I'm not gambling that much this time. You should use it every single time you play. And then the third thing, this is probably the most basic and the most crucial one, Mary Jane, is that you've got to ask for a comp in order to get a comp. A lot of people seem to think, and I have to plead guilty to this myself, when I was this way when I first got into this. I thought, well, gee, if I simply give the casino a certain amount of play, that maybe a casino host is going to, like, materialize next to me, you know? Sort of like the transporter room of Star Trek. But it doesn't work that way. You've got to, maybe it works that way if you're betting $10,000 a hand. But for the rest of us mere mortals like you and me, you've got to ask for a comp in order to get a comp.
Now, that card you were talking about, is there a charge for that?
No, absolutely not. They want you to have that card. All you have to do is show up, and usually there's a booth off the floor of the casino called the promotions booth, or it depends on the name of their card. A lot of them call VIP cards or slot cards. It's very easy to find. Just show up at that booth and say you want one of those cards, or you can even get them at the table if you're a table game player. I was just in Las Vegas this past weekend, for example, and I went to a number of casinos because I don't get to Las Vegas more than about once or twice a year. I usually go to Atlantic City. So I went to a number of casinos where I don't normally go. And as a result, just about every time I sat down, somebody said, do you have a card here? And a couple of times I said no, because I didn't happen to have one for there. And they said, would you like one? And of course, whenever you're asked that, say yes, and they'll go and take care of it for you. You know, they'll bring the card to you at the table.
Great. Now I have to be honest with you, okay? I'm not a gambler. I just don't put that money. I work too doggone hard for my money, and I don't like to gamble. Can I still get comps if I don't gamble?
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, there's one class of people who get comps fabulously without gambling at all, and they're called wives or
really?
Best friends or next-door neighbors, because, you know, comps are usually given out in the form of pairs, you know, show tickets for two or room for two or meal for two. And yet a lot of big gamblers tend to go to the casino alone. Sometimes the wives get a little jaded with the whole process. If you happen to know somebody who's a high roller or even a very avid player, you should ask if you can tag along for the trip to Las Vegas sometimes. Because, as I say, a lot of these comps are given in the form of two and in the form of pairs. And you can get a lot without gambling at all, just by virtue of association. Then also there's... You know, particularly in Las Vegas, they have lots of coupons, giveaways. Sometimes these things are wrapped up in a little booklet, and they call them fun booklets or fun books, and you should go to any casino that offers that. They usually give them away absolutely for free. All you have to do is show up, and you'll get, 10% off on your meals. You'll get matching coupons on your bets. You get all sorts of different little things that require no gambling whatsoever.
Now, I don't want to be deceptive or anything, Richard, but I want to be a little deceptive here, okay? So
okay.
I understand that you've got some sneaky tricks for making it look like I'm really gambling and when I'm really not.
Well, that's another thing that we cover in the book, is that we can sort of, what we do is sort of hype your play, make it look like you're betting more than you are. And there are kind of three ways to do that. Well, actually, I give away a whole bunch of different ways in the booklet, but there are three fundamental ones. And one is that you want to buy in for more than you intend to play. This applies primarily to table game players. But if you go to a blackjack table or a craps table, for example, and you normally bet $500, what I recommend is that you should buy in for $1,000 or even $2,000 and then make a mental note that you're not going to play with that additional money. Now, that does require some discipline on your part. But from the casino's point of view, you just went from being a very, you know, nickel and dime sort of player to being a $1,000-plus player, somebody that they want to watch and somebody that they want to reward. The next tip is that you want to go in like a lion and leave like a mouse. And that means that you should make a big scene when you arrive at the table, but you leave like a thief in the night. You know, the casino understands that not everybody can be a high roller. And high rollers are not as common as you're led to believe when you watch movies and watch, you know, Las Vegas on television. They're actually
fairly rare. You mean 007 doesn't go to Vegas?
No. the high rollers, you know, you get the impression that they're all over the place, but they're really only, probably fewer than 1,000 people in the whole world that would qualify as super high rollers or whales. You have to be rich, for one thing. You have to be extremely rich, and then you also have to be a gambler, and that's just not that common. So most casinos eventually come to the realization that if they're going to do well, they can't concentrate so much on the high rollers as much as they do on the avid players who might bring a comparatively modest bankroll with them to the casino, maybe $5,000 or $10,000 or even less, maybe $1,000, and yet they're willing to bet all of it. They're willing to really play with the money that they brought to the casino. That's the kind of player that casinos really like, and that's the kind that they reward. And while you cannot fool the casino into thinking that you're a whale, a high roller, they know even before you walk in the door whether you're a high roller or not. You can fool them into thinking you're a player, and one of the ways that you do that is to, you know, as I said before, you make a big scene when you arrive at the table. The third thing is
you should make your first bet, Richard, just real quickly.
Yeah, sure.
Does it help to kind of be dressed really, you know, guffy up and to the nines and look like you're walking
Yeah, it
in?
Doesn't hurt. I think there is a certain image to it. Yeah, you certainly don't want to show up looking, you know, with the shorts and the T-shirt, which is unfortunately the way most people in Las Vegas dress nowadays. Looking the part is part of it. Yeah, I really think it is. It's because it means that they're going to pay attention to you. It means that they're going to treat you with respect. It means they're going to keep an eye on what you're betting. And they're just going to be sort of, you know, it's like first impressions.
Right?
I was going to say that you want to make your first bet your biggest bet. And, again, this goes somewhat against conventional gambling wisdom, because the usual advice is that you bet small and then you increase your bets as you win. But if you're the type of person who normally ranges your bet between, let's say, $5 and $25, what I recommend is that you start off with the $25 bet, because that's the one that the pit boss is going to make a note of. That's the one she's going to notice. That's the one she's going to write down in her rating card.
Gotcha.
On you.
Well, by the way, what's the best game in town? And when I talk to other people like pit bosses and people that I know in Reno and Vegas, they say blackjack is still your best bet. The other stuff, forget it.
Well, it is, although it requires a great deal of skill to play blackjack well. And to get that, you're familiar with the concept of blackjack card counters and so on and so forth, where they actually can shift the house advantage slightly in their favor by virtue of not memorizing the cards. That's a sort of a misconception, but what they do is keep a running count of the cards that are played. So if you can do that, if you're among the relatively small number of people who can do that, then blackjack is certainly a very good game. If you cannot do it, however, then probably craps is your best game. Have you ever played craps, Mary Jane?
You know, no, I haven't. I've done the blackjack. I've done a little bit of the, you know, the one-armed bandit. But again, I'm not a gambler.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, perhaps some of your listeners are craps players, and if they bet the pass line, and then they take what is known as maximum odds behind the pass line, and if those, if it's a casino that allows multiple odds behind the pass line, you can actually get a very, very low house percentage there that actually will get lower than the blackjack house percentage.
Then why did you write the book, God Doesn't Shoot Crap?
Well, it's a fun book. You know, the book is a story about a junk mail con man who sells what he thinks is a bogus crap system through the mail, because that's all he sells, you know, is bogus stuff. And then he discovers, quite by accident and quite to his own surprise, that it really works. And, of course, madness ensues from there. But what's interesting about the book and what's unusual about it is that the crap system in question is actually included as part of the novel. And it's based on a real-life mathematical theory called Parando's Paradox. And this is, you know, I'd encourage your listeners to go ahead and Google this and find learn about it, because it's fascinating. It states that two losing gambling games can be combined in such a way that they yield a winning result. So
how do
you
spell
lose,
that?
You lose and you lose and
Richard,
you walk away a winner.
How do you spell that?
Parrondo. And when I tell people this, they look at me like, you know, I'm trying to sell them the Brooklyn Bridge or something, but it really is true. So I would encourage your listeners to get on the internet and Google Parrondo's Paradox, because it's fascinating. And the premise of my novel is that perhaps it can be applied to a casino.
Amazing. Huh, that's fun. Now, before I let you get away from me, and before we go know what the website is and everything, one last question.
Sure.
Then you're going to have to come back and visit again. But I cannot believe that I can get credit for gambling at the tables when I'm really up in my room watching TV.
Well, you know, this is really sneaky. I mean, this is really devilish.
Hey, give it to me, Richard.
All fair in love and war, and this applies to table game players. If you spend as much time in a casino as I do, for example, you start to get a sense of the rhythm of play there, you know, the rhythm of life there. And what you can actually do is sort of make a bet and watch when the person who is observing your bet is usually called a pit boss or a floor manager, watch when they're about to go on their break. And then you take a break at the very same time that they take their break, which is usually 20 minutes or so. So you can go up to your room, or you can go have a quick meal or have a drink somewhere else and just relax. And you come back just before they come back, and you'll get credit for 20 minutes of being at the table when you weren't even there.
I love it. That is why not? I mean, now let's be honest about this, Richard. They're out to take us for a little bit of a
That's
ride.
That's exactly
and our money,
what this
so
booklet
why can't
is
we
about.
Be a little sneaky?
Yes, I mean, all the odds are stacked in their favor. This is a little booklet that helps you even it up a little bit. There's nothing illegal here. You're merely taking advantage of the things that they offer you, but you're taking full advantage of them. Let's put it that way.
How did you get started gambling?
Oh God, it goes to I actually got started as a kid. You know, I ran an illegal bookmaking operation in junior high school.
I love it.
So, you know, kids would come to school with 50 cents or so in their pocket, and instead of buying an apple or a glass of milk, I'd sell them a six-way Exacta part wheel.
Richard, you bad boy.
You know, I got caught when some kid came home one day and said, and, you know, the parents asked the classic question, "How was school today, Johnny?" And the kid said, "Well, school was fine, but I had a lousy day at the track."
Now, I want to make sure they have that site again. Give them the name of the site.
Yes, it's named after the novel, God Doesn't Shoot Craps, so it's www.goddoesn'tshootcraps.com, and there's no apostrophe in doesn't.
And then, once
they get there, just click on the big yellow star there, and you get the booklet free, Get Paid to Gamble booklet, absolutely free. There's nothing you have to buy. You don't even have to give me your email address or anything like that. It's an instant PDF download.
You're fabulous. Richard, you got to come back and visit again.
I would love to.
This is always fun. I always get these good tips so that if I ever do get stuck there, you know, I'm not going to be taken advantage of. I'm going to know what to do because
Exactly.
Richard,
you're armed now. You're armed and dangerous, Mary
Jane.
You
betcha. Hey, Richard, you have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you so much. You too.
Take care now.
Bye-bye.
That's Richard Armstrong. And again, the name of the book that you can download, Paid to Gamble. And that's free, absolutely free. Just, he says there's a yellow star on his site. And just click on there and you can download that. It's all these tips and there's a ton more. That's the reason he's going to have to come back. And again, nothing that's illegal. This is all there. It's there for us to take advantage of. And again, if you want to go to his site and the name of the book, God Doesn't Shoot Craps, it is www.goddoesntshootcraps.com. So we're going to get it all on for you on Pop-Off, give you the tools, and then you pick and choose what you want. Speaking about picking and choosing, we have the choices in life of eating right or not eating right, being obese or not being obese, exercising, not exercising, but what really works? Well, we're going to talk to the man who the diet doctors call the diet doctor. I mean, this is the man who knows everything that there is to know about our bodies and how they work, how we can drop 20 pounds. But my question to him is going to be the first question. Yeah, maybe we can drop 20 pounds, but do they really stay off? So stay with us on Pop Off, and we'll find out if it does. And if it does, how do we do it?
So good, so good, I got you. Oh, I feel nice, the sugar was fine. I feel nice, the sugar was fine.
Well, he is the man they go to lose weight, and I really do mean that in the most serious way. Even other physicians refer their patients to Dr. Joel Fuhrman. Now, he's called upon for his expertise by Good Morning America, CNN, all the major networks. Why? Because his book, Eat to Live, is the revolutionary formula for fast and sustained weight loss. In the first month, his patients can drop 12 to 20 pounds. Dr. Fuhrman, nice to have you with us on Pop Off.
Great to be here.
You know, I know that you say we can drop up to 20 pounds in a month. The big question, though, is can we keep it off?
Well, you know, we just got done with a study with the University of Southern California, and the average, and we tested 100 people, followed them for 2 years, and the average person lost 53 pounds and kept it off for the full 2 years.
Now, that's good. Because
it's the best,
you know,
it's the best results ever seen in medical history, actually.
Well, no, that's excellent. I mean, that's phenomenal. I'll tell you the reason why. I've talked to so many doctors, and there are so many diets, and I always firmly believe all diets work and no diets work. All diets will take the weight off, but not all diets are going to keep it off.
Well, you know, see, this is not a diet. It's a way of life. It's taking people and educating them how to not have heart attacks, reduce your blood pressure, not need cholesterol-lowering drugs, protect yourself from strokes, not get demented in your later years. In other words, why should we have a country where 51% of people drop dead of heart attacks? In other words, it's not a diet. It's telling people how to live in a manner that's a healthful, well way to eat. And by eating a diet rich in nutrients, we take away their cravings and food addictions. And as opposed to just telling them to cut back on calories or eat more carbohydrate, more fat, less fat, more protein, less protein. We're not saying any of those things. We're saying let's eat more foods that are nutrient-rich.
Okay,
and as the nutrient-richness goes up.
Tell me which ones are, because we get very confused. I mean, every time, first of all, it's don't eat butter, then don't eat eggs, now eat eggs. We don't know anymore. Low carbs, high carbs, I don't know anymore.
Right. That's exactly the message people are getting. They throw their hands up in the air and they think they can't get results. And this is, you know, that's exactly why diets fail. And what I'm saying is that Americans are eating too many calories, or eating too much fat, too much carbohydrate, and too much protein. And the reason for that is food addiction. We overeat when we're addicted to food and become food addicted if we don't, because hunger is four-dimensional. We have to meet our volume, fiber, and bulk needs, and we have to meet our nutrient needs. And you do that by eating more of these high-nutrient foods. It's not about eating less food. It's about eating more of the right foods as the method via which you reduce your intake of those foods that aren't good for you. If you can't stop eating the cookie and the potato chip, and you can't stop having the pasta and cheese, and you can't, you know, in other words, instead of thinking what's good for you and what's bad for you, let's think that we need to have a much higher volume of these high-nutrient plant foods, such as snow pea pods, beets, cucumbers, tomatoes, melons, grapefruits, apples, kiwis, berries, papayas, Brussels sprouts, string beans, artichokes, asparagus, eggplant, mushrooms, peppers. In other words, we give people delicious tasting recipes for soups, for salads, for sorbets, for stews, and we show them eat as much as you can, and this will be the method which you'll get your cravings to go away.
Oh, Dr. Furman, I didn't hear any Krispy Kreme donuts in there.
Well, look, you know, there has to be a starting point.
You're right.
And the starting point is to tell people, look, we can't tell you to cut back on eating. It's like telling you to breathe less air.
Yeah, thank you.
Restrict that food, and you're going to think you're missing it. What we got to do is tell you what you're missing from your diet. The bottom line is Americans eat 4% of calories from fruits and vegetables, and everybody else is telling them, eat more fruits and vegetables, eat more fruits and vegetables. And I'm saying, no, don't just add fruits and vegetables to your diet. Make fruits and vegetables, beans and seeds and things, those kind of foods, make them the diet. And then we can count how much things we add to the diet that are not those healthy foods, because as we eat that little piddling 4% of calories from these healthy plant foods, we're going to put ourselves at dramatically high risk of cancer and heart disease. We have to get that 4% up to a figure like 80%. We've got to radically increase the amount of these healthy foods we're eating. And that's what this is all about.
I bet you firmly believe, like I do, that if the body is really healthy and the immune system is really boosted, you can fight off almost any disease. It's just that we've kind of really whacked up our immune system.
It starts when we're young in life. And with the bottom line is the diet style in America, it couldn't be better designed to create an epidemic of heart attack and cancer had we designed it from scratch. It's just a very dangerous way to eat. So we have to rethink it and make a radical change in the way people are thinking about food. The good news is this affords people the opportunity to eat more food and more good-tasting food. It's not about reducing pleasure in life. It's just a different way of learning and thinking about food.
Well, I love your statement that you make, and I think it's true. You say that nutritional stupidity is the common cause of death in the U.S.
That's for sure. I guess I said that, so I guess it has to. I'm going to agree with it.
Yeah, you said it, but you know, it's true. It really is. And we have gotten off track. There was a time when we cooked from scratch, when we made homemade meals. Then we got frozen foods. Then we got the golden arches. Then we got the kernel. You know, we get all that stuff together, and we are not eating very well.
And, you know, so my patients lose dramatic amounts of weight. I have people that routinely lose 100 pounds or more, and they can easily lose, you know, 15 the first month, 10 the second, and 10 the third. They could lose, you know, 30 pounds, 35 pounds in the first 3 months. But the thing is that they have to learn the information, and they need support. And what we do is we give them recipes and we give them the information they need so there's not a possibility of them failing. So we tell them exactly how to do it, how to plan it, how to do it, what to buy when you shop, how to cook, what to cook on the 2 days you cook, when you cook on Wednesdays and Sundays and eat leftovers on, you know, Thursday and Friday, eat leftovers on Monday and Tuesdays. In other words, how to exactly plan it into your schedule to make it so it's impossible for you to fail. And, of course, you know, I help people answer their questions, give them tutorials, and help at the website, too, where they can actually come to the website, ask me questions, get more recipes and menu plans, and figure out how to do this in a way that is going to work for them.
I was really amazed when you said that women who regularly eat beans have dramatically lower risk of breast cancer.
Right, 40% lower risk of breast cancer. And, you know, and that women who eat nuts and seeds in their diet, you know, sunflower seeds and almonds, have a dramatic lower risk of cancer and heart attack and decreased mortality and long healthy life expectancy. In other words, in this country, we've accepted our religion of America to be the religion of modern medicine, where we think that nutrition is not going to create our health destiny, that we're not in control of our health at all, that it's all luck, it's all genetic, and doctors are going to be our saviors with some magical drug that's going to save ourselves and make us live longer. And it just is not, it doesn't materialize. It's a fairy tale. It doesn't work. We can't rely on drugs and doctors to establish the health of our nation. And our health is deteriorating, and we've seen the cancer rates increase every year for 75 years straight now.
You know, Dr. Furman, you talk about vitamin D being very important. And there was another study that came out about vitamin D3 being a cancer retardant. Is that true?
Yes, it's absolutely true, because we have an epidemic of vitamin D deficiency in America. And vitamin D deficiency increases your risk of breast cancer and prostate cancer. You know, we're not working out and living outdoors like primitive people. We're working indoors. And the amount of vitamin D in a conventional multivitamin is not sufficient to ensure the majority of the population is getting enough vitamin D.
How much do we have?
We get 400 in a supplement, and people and the average person should be getting closer to 1,000 a day to assure adequacy of D.
Now,
so it's not adequate just to take a multivitamin for your D, unless you're living out a lot of your life outdoors.
What's the difference between vitamin, because that's the sunshine vitamin, right?
It's the sunshine vitamin, that's correct.
What's the difference between the regular vitamin D and vitamin D3?
Well, there's the 125, the 25-hydroxy-D, there's a vitamin D we get from the sun and the vitamin D we get from supplements, and the body can convert it into the biological form. The problem is that we've been finding is that when people take calcium, a lot of calcium, the calcium can interfere with the conversion into the biologically active form, so that we've been doing the wrong thing. Women have been thinking they're going to protect themselves from osteoporosis by popping calcium pills. Instead, they should take less calcium and more vitamin D.
Really?
That's the key to the conversion here. So it doesn't matter. D2 is a little less absorbable than D3, and either one will work. You just got to take a little more of D2. You follow me?
Got it. Now, you also said walking on a treadmill, good thing. Exercise is good.
Well, you know, not exercise is great, but, of course, a lot of people who are very overweight, I see so many people, they're too out of shape to exercise sufficiently. They don't feel well enough. They try to exercise, they're too fatigued, they can't breathe. They're just not in good enough shape to exercise. That's why the diet of nutritional excellence, that's why the starting with the Eat to Live program, getting their nutrient levels up high, is a good starting point. And as they drop 25 pounds and they're feeling better, they'll desire, then they'll feel better about doing the exercises they should be doing.
You know, I think that's the whole thing. You've got to, and see, that's the other problem we have in this country. We want everything this minute. We don't want to wait a week. We don't want to wait a month. We certainly don't want to wait a year. But you got to do it slowly.
Right. They got to do it step by step. And, you know, and sometimes they need support. And obviously, I want to make it, the person's on a cholesterol-lowering drug and wants to, if they have chest pain, want to get off that, or want to get off their blood pressure medications, and want to make themselves non-diabetic and get rid of their type 2 diabetes, want to lose their weight, I want to make it sure that if they, you know, join, they get on this plan, they get on our program, that there's not one chance they can fail. We'll almost guarantee their success if they work with us, as long as they make a commitment to come along for the ride, so to speak.
And the other thing, too, is we want to start with our kids because, oh, my God, I mean, we've got a country of obese children.
Well, it is very sad. We're not only the kids, you know, the sad thing is that the scientific literature is revealing that what we do when we're younger in life is even more important for cancer protection or cancer causation as an adult than what you did later in life. And we're allowing our kids to eat a diet style that's going to really forebode incredible, you know, heightened amount of cancer in early death in later years, so much so that the World Health Organization just predicted a doubling of cancer rates in the next 20 years worldwide based on the spread of fast food, you know, soft drinks, and the way kids' obesity is growing. They're expecting an epidemic of cancer to even get much worse in the future.
It is amazing. And, you know, we see the schools that are accepting money to have those doggone machines in there with high-calorie sodas and snack foods and candy bars instead of good nutritional food, and they go, oh, well, you know, we're making some money. Yeah, and killing your kids at the same time.
Well, you know, that's true. But, I mean, it's got to start in the home, and parents got to model the right behavior. They've got to teach kids what healthy eating is, and they have to explain to them just because other people eat certain, just because the rest of the population is committing suicide with food, it doesn't mean our kids have to do so.
You're right.
So I think
right.
That we can't rely on the schools, and we can't rely on what other people do with their children, because obviously then we're going to have a child with lupus or some horrible, or Crohn's or some horrible, or allergies and some horrible diseases, and later on in life, they're going to be struck down with cancer at a young age.
We just have to have you come back again, but I want to let everybody know, Eat to Live, available every place, right?
Absolutely, and I'd like to invite people to come on the website at drfurman.com, and they can get a free newsletter, and they can get more information about this program.
And why don't you go ahead and spell your last name so they know?
Right, it's drfurman.com, furman.com.
Terrific. Dr. Furman, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. You are the greatest. Please come back again.
Oh, thank you, Mary Jane. Thanks for having me on.
And stay well.
You too.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Eat to Live on Pop Off, that's what we're talking about. I sometimes live to eat, and that's not a good thing. I'm sharing that with you. By the way, all the information that we have on Pop Off, whether it's books or names of people, ideas, concepts, whatever, phone numbers, websites, All of that's going to be up on popoff.com. I'll have it up there by tomorrow morning. That's P-O-P-P-O-F-F, popoff.com. And I always want to make sure the information's easy for you to get to. And I want you to have a great weekend. Have a weekend of dreams and a weekend of being able to share and get out and enjoy the weather. It's cooling off on the West Coast, so it's coming East Coast. Finally, we're going to cool off a little bit. Been driving everybody crazy. We got our sea breezes in, so the air condition has started. So in the meantime, you have a wonderful weekend. Live simply, laugh often, love deeply. And probably more than anything else, I want you to dare to dream. Enjoy, have fun.